wanted to speak together about the preparation for Jonas fast, which will be on this Monday. Usually Jonas fast is a chance for us to return back to God. And the church prepared it to be 2 weeks before the Lent, such that we have the spirit of repentance before the start of the Lent. And it's known that's the season of returning back to God. The story is known to all of us that when the Lord sent this prophet to a pagan type of people, very far from knowing who is God, because they were living in sin, the message was too harsh for them. He said to them, repent, because after 40 days, the message was not to repent, the message is that after 40 days you'll be destroyed. And because Jonah faced a situation that is not easy at all, imagine that someone tells you, go to Saudi Arabia and tell them that the Lord will destroy you. What are they going to do if you in Saudi Arabia, in an Islamic country? Those people were not believers in God, and the message was very harsh. And he couldn't, so he escaped. He went west rather than east. The direction from Nineveh, from the place where he is, east toward the east, not west, to Joppa. It's a place that is very different. But the Lord chased him, and he was returning there in a fish belly. And returned back to Nineveh and spoke to them with the expectation that they destroyed him. And instead of destroying him, something very strange happened, that those people changed completely. The king himself, when he heard the news in chapter 3 in the book of Jonah, says that he left his throne and sat on the ground and was covered with sackcloth. And he didn't like to sit on his throne. And he ordered that even the kids will not eat for 3 days. Even the animals, no food for the animals. Such that the whole country were crying day and night out of repentance. And even the kids, imagine kids not eating that long. Imagine the animals and the noise that they produce out. It's very sad. And they were crying. And the Lord could not take this. Could not. So the Lord changed his mind. The Lord relented. He changed his decision. And this became to us symbol over the years, that no matter how bad we are, no matter how sinful we may be, when you do something like that, God forgives. Because still, the Lord is very sympathetic. His heart is like a father or a mother that is very keen about his children. When he sees us brokenhearted, he will bring us in this state. The fasting in the Old Testament was used to be a method for humbling ourselves before God. And this is very important to understand why we fast. We fast because we humble ourselves before God. The best virtue that Christianity speaks of is humbleness. And the worst vice that we understand, the worst sin, is pride. So fasting is a chance for us to change the attitude of pride to humbleness. There was a ritual in the Old Testament that one day in the year they have to humble themselves. It didn't say that humble through fasting, but it's understandable that in the Jewish history that humbleness of the self is through fasting. Fasting makes us brokenhearted. One of our people in our church, he's in his 60s. He fasts the 3 days of Jonah without food or drink, three consecutive days, until the first day. and he takes permission, because this decision of busting number of successive cases without food or drink even needs permission from the opposition party. So he used to ask me, am I allowed? And I was worried about him being jealous. Then I told him, why? Why do you do that? He said that because the first day passes here, the second day becomes very, very tough. The third day is really very humbling. So I sit on the floor and almost cry the whole day out of humbleness before God. And usually the Lord smiles to me in some way or another, and which is true. This experience of people humbling themselves through fasting will always be responded by God by something that the Lord will prove to you that what you did pleases Him. Something strange that makes us very close to the heart of God when we humble ourselves through fasting in that way. Our problem is that when we fast, we eat food that is fasting food, but we don't feel hungry. And this is really one of the mistakes that we always do. Also, we don't humble ourselves with other things. Like what? Like, for example, we don't take the things seriously. We may watch movies, we laugh, we joke around, and we are fasting. No, fasting spirit is humbling service. In the past, we used to have sackcloth. Sackcloth is very rough, and it's not easy to be in it, and as if they have no luxury. And usually they sleep on the floor. They don't sleep on beds. And they cry. There's actually an order in the Bible about the book of Joel, when he says that if you turn back to God, he spoke of cry. You have to cry. Why cry is important? Because it's an indication of what do you feel about your sin. You can't laugh. One generation before us, before you, which is my generation when I was young, even people, when they fast, they don't dress up in the proper way. They ignore the type of how to show. The clothes are very simple. And until now, in some places in the world, they do that. That may be the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said that when you fast, don't show that. Don't show, wash your face and anoint your head, because that was the symbol of being sad. The Lord said, do that in your heart rather than showing people. But it includes the meaning of it, that fasting has to be humbleness, has to be humiliation. When we are humiliated before God, God by his nature cannot take it. Simply the Lord cannot punish us. There's an incident in the Old Testament which is very strange about a king that was very wicked. His name is Ahab. Ahab, very wicked man, to an extent that he caused agony to Elijah. But towards the end of his life, he humbled himself before God. So God was almost apologizing to Elijah that I'm not going to punish him. So he said to Elijah something very strange. He said to him, see how he humbled himself before God. How he humbled himself before God. As if the Lord is using that. As if the Lord is taking permission from Elijah that I don't like to punish him. Why? Because he humbled himself. One thing that we don't know about God is that his heart cannot accept brokenheartedness. That's the reason that David, in his cleverness, when he did the worst type of sins in his life, or even in the life of any person, he could change the heart of God towards him by love and forgiveness, by brokenheartedness. And he said that brokenhearted is not to be despised by God. There are many people that can take from God whatever they like by brokenheartedness.
The worst thing is to approach God with arrogance, as if you are not in need of Him, or as if you are better than others. The Lord made it as an example clear. In one of His parables, He said that two people went to the temple to pray. One of them was arrogant, Pharisee, very educational, a person that as if he got PhD in divinity and a lot of knowledge. And another person that is sinful, publican, that was looked upon as betrayer of the nation. They went to the temple together. One of them was looking down. He couldn't look up. He said, "Have mercy on me, O God," and he hit his chest. And the other Pharisee was thinking of himself better than others, saying that he is better than others. The end effect was what? The end effect is that one of them returned back, as the Lord said, forgiven, and the other returned back carrying his own sins. They are not forgiven. There are people that are very clever to take from God whatever they like by brokenheartedness. Normally, you can take anything. The key to the heart of God is brokenheartedness. And we arrive at that by hunger. When you are hungry, in fasting. Jonah's fasting is symbolic of that. There are many people, not many, number of people that fast days in Jonah's fasting because of this experience. They know. Actually, there are books written by non-Orthodox people, non-Catholics, some Protestants, saying that how much they got from God through fasting. There's one book in our bookshop about fasting written by a Protestant person saying the miracles that happened to him and to others through fasting. And he meant by fasting is brokenheartedness in hunger and in these states. So if you like to benefit from the fasting, understand that it doesn't match laughing, doesn't match watching movies, doesn't match the normal time. Let the days of fasting be brokenheartedness time. Why the Lord told us the story of Canaanite woman? You know the story of the Canaanite woman. Canaanite women are very high rank people because they live on high lands overlooking the Mediterranean Sea, and they are very rich, and their history is very honorable. They have never been occupied by enemies. They always won in battles. The days of David, when he expanded his territory, he couldn't arrive at Phoenicia. Phoenicia was very high for him. He couldn't. So they think of themselves better than others. But that woman, her daughter, was mad, crazy, and she suffers for her daughter. And she knew about Christ. She heard that He does miracles. So she crossed the borders and went to the land of Israel. She knew that she is not welcome because they are enemies and they are cursed in the eyes of the Jewish people. She went in humbleness and she started calling him, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He ignored her. "Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is sick." He ignored her. Then the disciple told him, "Shut this lady up. Let her go. She is annoying us all the time, following them. Son of David, have mercy on me." Then the Lord looked to her and said something horrible. He told her it's not good to have the food of children and give it to dogs. It's very humbling, extremely humbling. There's nothing more humbling than that. Imagine that you go chase Abba Daniel and say, "Please say it and pray for me. My mom is sick, or I need something." Then he says to you, "It's not good to think of you. You are a dog. Go away." But that lady, in extreme brokenheartedness, because her daughter is sick, she knew that he is capable. He is capable to do it. She told him, "Even dogs can eat from the crumbs that fall from the table of their masters." Recognizing that you are our masters. And I am like a dog, but I can take that. Then he looked at her and said, he had the power at that time to look at the disciples and said, "Can I refuse her? Can I let her down? Impossible." Then he told her, "Your faith go, your daughter is healed. And her daughter was healed on the spot. So this became to us the way. If you like to have a key to the heart of God, that's the way. Don't approach God with the way that if you like to give me, give me. If you don't like to give me, who cares? You receive nothing. You have to approach God in that way. We saw that in the church. Sometimes we receive people crying for help of some form or another, and they come to the priest and say, please pray for us, please pray for us. To tell the truth, in the majority of cases, we get a feeling if this petition will be answered or not. We get you know where we get that feeling? From this broken heartedness. If the person comes with extreme brokenheartedness, we have a feeling, we know the heart of God. We've seen the heart of God. I saw cases in our church of that nature, that miracles happened beyond the limit. I remember a case that happened in our church that I'll never forget it. It's a lady that was terminatingly sick, and her husband came to Aunt Bethania. He was on his knees, tears were running on his face, and begging, saying that, I did that for God, I didn't shun him. And surprisingly, Aunt Bethania told him, don't worry, your wife will be healed. And she did. She was healed. And she lived about 10 years, despite that the doctors gave her a span of 3 months or so. I've seen also cases, I remember a lady that came to me in the church downstairs from St. Anthony Church, and she said, would you give me the relics of the saint, one of the saints, because my daughter is with me, she's sick. She was crying bitterly, the mother, and she thought the girl was 16 years old, and she's going to do a female operation that will cause her not to be capable to have children, and she's 16 years old, and the mother was crying bitterly about this, and she said, I'll do anything for God, but God heals my daughter. I'll do anything. Tell me what I can do. I told her, well, humility, sir. I told her, look after the toilets, clean the toilets. She said, all my life. I said, no, 1 year, 1 year. She said, wait, give me the key. I said, no, in your church, she came from San Antonio. And she was crying. And she got the relics and put it on the tummy of her daughter. And she kept crying. And she said, I had little hope because it needed a huge miracle. And I said, Lord, please, you are merciful. And then they disappeared. I didn't come. I didn't know anything about them. After about 6 months, she came back again that day. She said, still remember me? I said, yeah, vaguely. She said, do you have a book to write the miracles? I said, no, we don't have that. What happened? And she said that, remember my daughter? After that, she had another scan, and the doctor said, I don't know, there's nothing wrong with your daughter. And her daughter didn't do any operation, and she's totally healed. But that's the attitude of receiving from God. And that's the way the Lord teaches us. There is no need for arrogance. I said to some of you before this, when we were in Egypt, there was a miracle performer. He died now. His name was Ambadomadius. He was metropolitan of Giza. That's the metropolitan that when I was young, I used to go to the church. And he was not my confession father, but I had a strong relationship with him. He came to visit Australia 15 years ago and visited me at home. He loves me, he still remembers me. He attended my ordination, actually. This man was a miracle performer. I saw from him something not natural, like miracles. But something that he used to do that amazed me, I didn't understand it at that time, but now I understand it. Sometimes ladies come to him and say, Sayyidina, I've been married for 10 years. I have no children. You know, in Egypt, the technology at that time, I was young, was not this technology that can help the people. It was not there. So they rely on God. If God does a miracle, she will fall pregnant. If not, then he used to tell them something strange. He tell them, okay, on Friday, I'm going to baptize kids. Come and stay there. He brings the lady that has no children. She stays there in the baptismal room. And he baptized children. And the mothers cry out of joy. And everyone is very joyful from the family of the children. But that lady that has been married for 10 years and no children keeps crying in a corner. Something for me was breaking my own heart. Why, Sayyidina, you do that to the lady? Why? Now I understand. You know why? He needed her to cry. He needed her to be humiliated. The more humiliation she has before God, the more the chance of God, because God has very soft heart. You don't know how God the Almighty, the creator of all, has soft heart. He's very soft hearted, very soft hearted. He can't take it. He can't take the cry of people. There was a story in the Bible, written in different Bibles, but when you read it from St. Mark, you understand my explanation very well. It's a father that his son was having epilepsy. And if you saw the attacks of epilepsy, the parents get dying. The father that sees his son in epileptic episode is about to have heart attack. They look as if they are dying. He brought the boy to the disciples. At that time, Jesus Christ was on the mountain praying by himself, and the disciples were there. He brought the child to the disciples and said, pray for my son, he's sick. They prayed, nothing happened. The boy is still sick. Then Jesus came. I said, what's the fuss? Because people were there. Then the man was very arrogant. He told him, I brought that son to your disciples. They did nothing. If you can, do something. Very extremely impolite. Then the Lord said, until when I'll be with you? The Lord was upset from this language. Then at that minute, the boy had an attack. And he was almost dying on the floor. Then, when you read it in the Gospel, I think second chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, very sweet. The man fell on his knees in front of Jesus, saying, please, please do something. Please help. Help my lack of faith. I have blamed himself. Then at that time, the Lord healed the boy. The story to me is very clear. You can't receive things from God approaching him in arrogance. You can't. The best chance for you to receive from God when you approach him with the broken heart in this case. You know, there's a way. There's a way to receive from God what you like. There's a way. The more humble you are, the more the chance of you receiving. Is it easy? No, because we, by our nature, are arrogant. We are created in arrogance. By our nature, we don't like to be humiliated. We reject humiliation. All of us do not like this. There's something in us that the arrogance is implanted in our mind, in our system. We don't like to be humble. Even you don't like to kiss the hands of a priest or bishop. You don't like to. There's nature like that. This is the nature that denies us the reception of the grace of God. Once you become humble enough before God, then you receive from him what you don't imagine is possible to be received. Now, what is the easiest way of humbling ourselves? Fasting until you become hungry to the extent that you really feel the hunger and thirst. You feel it. And you resist. And this brings us, you know, that the Lord promised that the humble people receive grace. And that grace does miracles with you. And that grace is to be received by being humble before God. The more humble you are, the more you receive grace. Did we see things like that before? I saw it many times. I saw one student, I always say his story before many people. He's now graduated long time ago. This story happened 15 years ago. He was doing a course at uni, and he was suffering from physical temptation. He was falling in bad habits and struggling very much. At that time, there was not much pornography, but maybe movies or CDs or something, and not as internet now. But he was suffering from that a lot. He loves God, but he was conquered, all the time conquered. He says that, I don't know what happened to me. I can't resist. I always fall, I fall, fall. He used fall number of times every week in a very easy way. Then he came to me and said, I think it was maybe second year or third year uni. I said that the Lent will start, I will fast until I see the stars. It's a system some people do in Egypt that they say, I'll fast until I see the stars in the night, which in Australia would be 9 p.m. or something. I told him, well, look, you are studying a heavy course and you go to uni. It's not practical. He said, well, Father, if I fail, I fail. But that's the way for me to conquer this habit. I said, it's too much. He said, Father, I will not regret it if I fail. But I know that this will help me stop. Then, to me, it was experimental to agree. I didn't know. That's the first time to hear to say, okay. Because being a student, I don't like him to fail. You know what happened? The Lord is my witness that what I'm saying to you is the truth. His academic script after he graduated is as follows. Every year he gets pass, credit, pass, pass, credit, things like that. Then one term, distinction, high distinction, distinction. That was the term that he fasted until the stars. It's amazing. How did this help him? How can he concentrate without food? How can he study? It's the grace of God. The grace of God fell upon him in that aspect. Self-control came to him out of that. We know that. We know that fasting, but not only fasting, fasting with humiliating self. You have to humiliate self. You have to be like that. There was a package like that in the Bible. It says that sackcloth and ashes, they sit in ash. Ashes are annoying. They make you dirty and itchy and not comfortable at all, but they do that. So they say, why? This now stopped. No one does that. But it happened in the past. Why? Because of the humbleness. Why sackcloth? And it's not normal sack. It's actually the skin of camel, which is very spiky. When they put it on their body, it can even cause bleeding. Imagine the king of this Nineveh did that. The king sat on the floor in that sackcloth, crying to the Lord. The kids are crying. The cows are crying out of hunger. Then the Lord couldn't. The Lord cannot punish them because of their humbleness. Young people, have this experience this year. These 3 days, be very strict in your fasting. Feel the hunger. You, in your strength and in young age, you can stay until sunset. But ask your confession, Father, that you don't do that. The worst thing that can happen is that you think of yourself better than others. Then fasting will have negative effect on you. If because of fasting, you look down to your parents that they are eating, or even a boona that he has breakfast and you don't, and then you start thinking of yourself that you are higher, then please don't fast. But if fasting will make you feel, if someone or that idea came to you, why you do that? Because I'm more sinful. I'm more sinful and I need the grace of God. So if you do that, with the spirit of prayer, away from jokes, away from only 3 days, then you'll see power that you didn't know before. You know that the human nature discovers things. People discover things, discover their quality, discover, it's a matter of discovery. You may have that experience, a discovery. The majority of people that do that, they had that discovery, they knew. They needed something, they were very desperate, something for their families, parents, for their children, or for whatever. Mainly sickness, mainly situation that you are too embarrassing for you. Maybe you are failing, you are going to be expelled. Maybe you have a petition. You need a miracle for it to happen. We saw that many times. We saw cases that according to probability, the rate of success is less than 1%. Then people humble themselves, then the Lord extends his grace. It's always possible, always possible. And it's not my own. Read any book about fasting. Read the experience of people that had passed through that, and be surprised about the gentleness of the heart of God. Once you are that humble, you humble yourself by any method, but the fast is the easiest. The easiest way to fast. So David the prophet said that I humble myself by fasting. I humbled myself by fasting. Fasting is the way. Because you feel tired, you feel weak, you feel hungry, you feel brokenhearted, you feel that everyone is laughing, everyone is having something, they enjoy food, but I don't. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm brokenhearted. Please, Lord, have mercy on me, and the Lord will have mercy on you. Thank you for listening. Let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, asking the Lord to teach us. To teach us how to approach you. We know how loving, how caring, how soft-hearted you are. How can you extend your mercy to us when we come in a humble spirit before you? We confess our weaknesses, our needs. We beg you, Lord, to teach us how to fast, how to resist the temptation of this world, how to understand our weaknesses. We confess before you, Lord, that we didn't please you. We did many shameful things. We know that without your help, Lord, we live in this world conquered by the desires and the hopes and the attacks of the devil. But in humbleness and brokenheartedness, we beg you. Very broken, down to earth, we come to you, Lord, on our knees, unworthy to even raise our eyes to us, Lord, because we are sinful, but we ask your mercy. Let the coming days, Lord, be a source of revival for the church. Let everyone that loves you and love them show us, Lord, your power when we approach you in this humble. As you help with this Canaanite lady, help us. As you help soft heart towards many people that were broken in their heart, we are broken in our hearts. We ask this to the pleading, Saint Mary and the Archangel Saint Mark. Ask you to listen to us praying, thank you, and say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Jesus Christ, God, thanks for the
We remind you about these 3 days. One day, Joseph will come to give us a talk, then after that we'll have a very short Vespera with Abuna Thomas. Then on Tuesday, Abuna Daniel will come to give us a talk. We will have a prayer meeting. This is half an hour.